Welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this spirit-filled message, that it blesses your week and brings you joy and perspective. To connect with us, hop on social media, and for more information, head to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Looking good. Forget about the box. We're just going to take a few moments to update you on something that happened this week. So, as you know, the team go to India on the 3rd of March. And, you know, we're praying that as a church. It's going to be an amazing time. Just want to give you a bit of background, just very briefly. The reason we go there is it's a Bible school. We go in the week that they graduate. The people that go on that trip, so I won't name the team, but there's 7 of us going. And the people that go on that, they fund themselves, and then they fund to throw basically a camp for the students. So it's an incredible thing. Are you excited? You don't... I refuse to whip you up this morning. So that's an amazing thing. Do you agree that, you know, we get to throw a party for people? You know, these kids walk 7 days from Burma to go to the Bible school. We will bless them. And we, you know, they'll encounter the Holy Spirit and all those amazing things, teach them new songs and just love on them. And then they'll walk 7 days back to Myanmar, Burma, and plant churches and work in churches. So that is an incredible thing that we get to do. Now, what happened this week, it came to light that the company we booked our tickets through collapsed. And we lost all the money and we lost the fares. Bummer. So how do you go from here, like lift it all up again? But the thing is, I'm convinced, and I'll allude to this a little bit when I preach, I'm convinced that God has got this. I don't believe we're to call the trip off. I believe God is absolutely going to provide. I do believe it's an enemy attack. I absolutely do, because he does not want us to go. We've made that a focus. One of the focuses, Uganda, Mizoram, it's a focus. We want to bless these kids. The Lord spoke to me when I was walking around this morning about the building that we're doing for the kids. And that's incredible. But you know, external expansion comes from internal expansion.
Yeah, that's right.
See, what we're doing in here, we need something in us.
Yeah.
We need to expand in us if we're going to expand externally.
Yeah.
If we're going to take the gospel out to the streets, out to the world, to Mizoram, to Uganda, we have to be expanded in here. And that means faith. You know, when we've got it all worked out, God can come along, blow on it, and then he goes, okay, here's the season of faith for you to enter in.
Yeah.
And so we're going to move in faith. I'd like you to stand to your feet. We're going to just pray over the situation. We've got a board meeting today. We were having one anyway. Different people have rung me up. Somebody rang me yesterday and said, I've got an idea how we can raise funds. And all of that is amazing. And, you know, we might end up doing that. We're not covered by insurance. We might be covered by the bank. They're still working on that. Some people have got money back through the bank. Some haven't. We cannot get it back from the airline or from the company we booked through. But God knows and God provides. I absolutely do believe it. So let's just raise our hands. Father, we thank you that you know all about this. We thank you it's not a mystery to you. It didn't sneak up on you. It might have snuck up on us. But God, we just declare, Lord, that your word will go out to Mizoram. That the team, Lord, that have saved the heart and we just want to go and bless those kids, Lord, we'll be able to do that. And we're so thankful to you, God, that you're not shutting it down, but God, you're opening it up. You're not causing us to close down, but we're being extended internally, God, so that we might expand externally and go forth. Lord, we ask you for funds. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you that this trip can go ahead, and we thank you for the praying people at KCC. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So thank you, guys. Okay. We had 3 of the greatest songs ever written, in my estimation, this morning. I ran out of that grave, Be Thou My Vision, Washed. And I felt like the Holy Spirit whispered on my ear, no pressure, but don't stuff the preaching up. not only that, every single you are, your, was spelt correctly on the words. There is a God. Listen, my word this, I don't know if you've got the, have we already had it up there? I don't know. But my message title is Separation Anxiety. Anna did, oh, thank you. Anna did this amazing graphic. Oh, the one I saw had the line through the middle, but that's okay. I don't mind. I like that it was separation from anxiety. I thought that was great. But anyway, if we base our belief on the Old Testament alone, then Isaiah is a voice that speaks loudly and authoritatively from the pages of that book. Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 2, he says these words, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Now, of course, we being New Covenant believers, in the time of the New Covenant, we need to balance out the Old Covenant with the New Covenant. So what does the New Covenant say? Now, John writes in his Gospel, this is the same John who laid his head on the chest of Jesus. This is the same John who said, "I'm his beloved." He records Jesus' words from John 12, verse 32. He says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." You do not sound excited. I tell you what, sometimes the scripture needs to go, we need to go, "If I be lifted up from the world, I will draw all men unto me." Listen, you need to be jumping off your seats because you are one of the all men. You were drawn and you accepted his invitation and you let him draw you. We're going to look a bit at this. Anyway, the word "draw" in the Greek is helko. Now, draw, that word can mean draw or drag. Let me tell you, religion drags you along, Jesus draws you. You know, a caveman will grab a woman and drag her. Okay, I know it's not politically correct, just settle. Civilized men and women will charm, woo, and pout on Instagram. They'll use their spirituality to impress, money to seal the deal. He or she will draw the one that will draw near to the one that their affection is aimed at. See, Jesus never said, "I will drag all men unto me." He used the word "draw," which means to appeal to the divine that is resident in man. That means to appeal to the divine, which is resident in man. A side issue, I love the scripture, and it's come back to me this last year a lot, and this year even more. It talks about he lights every man that comes into the world. Yes. There is something resident in us that responds to light, responds to love. Listen, what happened between Isaiah 59 and John 12? Your sins separate, and then Jesus says, "I'm going to draw you." Well, Jesus happened. What do you do with a God whose plan for your redemption is death of his son on a cross? What do you do with Jesus whose dying thoughts were of you? The Jesus that lived his life to expose the religion that kept his father at a distance. What do you do with that? What do you do with the Jesus that gave his life to lay bare the deception of sin? What are we going to do with the Jesus who was raised to life so that you and I would no longer be separated from the Father by sin and death? What do we do with him? Yeah. The Jesus who bridged the divide, made a way for us to be in relationship with the Father today, tomorrow, and all the tomorrows to come. What are we going to do with him? You see, let me tell you what else happened between Isaiah 59 and John 12. Love was let loose on the earth. Love let loose on the earth. 1 John 4 verse 19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." Something that was lost in us is found again. When I encountered Jesus, something that had almost died went whoomph in my life. It's like the pilot light was on and then all of a sudden someone lit the gas and whoomph. Let's talk about love. Don't sing it. My mum was a singer. She used to sing in the kitchen. She didn't have a particularly happy life. She certainly didn't have a happy marriage, but she was a singer, and she knew how to turn bad situations into good or just live the best she could. Anyway, we used to play my mum like you would the shuffle feature on Apple Music. So she would be singing in the kitchen. I don't know. She'd be singing, "Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high." And then my brothers would go, "Watch this." So one of us would walk through. "Mamma mia, here I go again." And then you'd hear a, "Mamma mia, here I go again." So because we were good Christian boys, the other one would go, "That's nothing." And they'd walk through and go, "These are the days of Elijah." And then she'd be, "These are the days of Elijah." One song she used to sing was, "Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger across a crowded room." I'm not going to sing that one. "Before my time even." Now, I don't want to wreck your Instagram moment, but my advice for you is not to wait too long for an enchanted evening. Few and far between. "Some enchanted evening" is dumb advice for the one that you love. I'm not sure what the equivalent song is that Taylor Swift would sing, but I wouldn't be going to her for romantic advice either. When I first saw Heather on the stage at Gingin Christian Fellowship 32 years ago, I sort of caught her eye, she sort of caught my eye. And, you know, I've heard of this where people go, "Oh, our eyes locked and we just knew we were going to marry." And I don't know, that might be a thing. But what I found is that what normally happens is one sets out to woo the other. And the one who does the wooing gets the attention of the one being wooed, or drawn, if you want to use the analogy. And the one being drawn, something comes alight in them and says, "I have value." And where they once thought, you know, "I'm nothing, I'm nobody," now they're going, "I'm not completely ugly, somebody loves me." Or they could see something about me that's amazing. And this is exactly what happened when you met Jesus. You found somebody who brought alive in you the love, brought alive in you the passion, brought alive in you the hope for the future, that you could be something different to what you were, and that actually your future with them, this person at your side, was going to be incredible. And that is what Jesus has done. You see, it's the in pursuit of a person that their value's established. Not totally, I know, please, I'm not going to balance it out where you don't have to have your value by the person by your side, etc., etc., etc. However, go with the analogy. There's nothing like being chased in both spellings of the word. But that's C-H-A-S-E-D and C-H-A-S-T-E. Thank you, I know how to spell. That feeling of I'm not invisible, but that person sees me, is amazing. And that's what I've experienced with God, and that's what you've experienced with God. That you're not just a number. You're not. He knows. How does he know the very hairs of your head? Does he have a clock counting down as my hair falls out? Like that's Robert's clock and his hairs are falling out. How does he count the hairs of our head? See, separation is a huge topic in the Bible. And if separation from and separation to Jesus need to be separated from the Father by sin, that feeling of separation, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" It was all necessary. And you know, just the turning of a calendar date from the 31st of December to the 1st of January, there's no real difference happened between those 2 days. Unless you choose to be the person that Jesus wants you to be. Unless you choose to follow the identity that God has got for you. And so my first point is the gentle art of persuasion. For there are times in life, I don't know about you, but I find myself in need of persuasion. You're also spiritual. I don't have what it takes to get over the bump. I don't have what it takes to pull myself out of a pit sometimes. I don't have sometimes what it takes to get back on track or stop being bogged. We got bogged up at Durian Bay, which is in Western Australia once. We were driving this little Gemini. We shouldn't have taken it through the sand dunes, but we got bogged. We needed someone to come and pull us out. And you are very thankful when someone comes and pulls you out. And today you are sitting here because someone came and pulled you out of the mire, out of the sand, and put your feet on solid ground. See, your lack of faith doesn't separate you from God. Your lack of faith doesn't separate you from God or cause God to distance himself from you. You know, our feeling of lack of faith, our feeling of failure, of not matching up to the heavenly tick list, having an addiction, all these things can make us feel phony. We stop talking to him. We stop listening to him. We stop looking for him. We stop acknowledging him. We stop involving him. Right. See, we don't have to be living a sinful life, though, to perceive distance. We just have to get busy.
Wow, so true.
He lives to persuade us. I believe that. And provide opportunity to draw us close, or draw close to us. Yeah. See, the writer of Romans beautifully and skillfully handles the thought and this feeling in Romans 8, verse 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Which for me then begs the question, how can he possibly give us all things if we're separate from him? But I can't go down that rabbit trail. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And really he's saying there, persecution and all those things he listed can't separate us. But then he goes on, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, so this whole life, whatever happens in life, everything from A to B, from the day you were born to the day you die, everything in life cannot separate you from the love of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Nor angels, so stop talking about demons and how they stopped you doing this. The devil cannot stop you. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. So all of you created things cannot stop me being the person I'm meant to be in Christ, fulfilling the goal that I'm supposed to fulfill. And I don't know who to pick on. I can't remember your name. No. All of these beings in here, these created beings, cannot stop you. So stop blaming church for your problems. Stop blaming your family for your problems. Nothing can stop you. Nothing created, because your life, woe to go. He says that nothing can separate. And then he says, I'm persuaded. I love that. Because I think we have this idea of perfectionism that says I must be always so full of faith that nothing rocks me. But the guy who wrote Romans says, I am persuaded, which means he needed persuading. I didn't used to believe, but now I do, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And he gives me a peace and position of authority because the great Apostle Paul needed convincing and persuading. And so I'm not ashamed to say that I need daily persuading. That's why I read my Bible or sing or have fellowship, because I need persuading. And I love that he says, who shall separate us, not what shall separate us. Who shall separate us? You need to listen to a word by Stephen Furtick. That's all I will say on that matter. I can't even remember what it's called now. The Pathway of Peace, I think. Yeah, it was. Christmas Eve, I think it was. It's often the who's that separate us from our peace. So often the who's, not just the what's. He says he lives to make intercession. Why would he bother to make intercession for you if you were a lost cause? And what does the word intercession even mean? It means a drawing together, intercede, inter, between. Not because he's not trying to prevent God's wrath from hitting you. He's actually saying, hey, I'm joining you together. There's relationship in the Father for you. Come and have relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Can you allow God to persuade you, to woo you? God isn't arms crossed. You know where to find me once you stop mucking around. It does say seek the Lord while he may be found. But he's not playing peekaboo. You know, to do that with the kids, little babies. Boom. I don't know why we do that, scare him. It's a bit crazy, but he's not playing hide and seek with us. What he is like a father who, like, he sees a child that's learning to walk and he's going, come to daddy. And then he comes back a bit. Come to daddy, you can do it. And slowly they learn to walk and gain strength in their legs. Yeah. Come to daddy. And all of a sudden they're walking. Yeah. See, he's not leaving us in the same place. He's actually growing us up and calling us into our destiny. It's not a debating society. That was my idea of persuasion, my view of persuasion. You know, we need to stop debating God. We're not likely to win. But he doesn't mind our questions either. We are in need. And in our need, let's be persuaded. My point two, when life gives you lemons, demand mangoes. And then I got, actually, I made that one up. But then I went on the internet and I got a few more. When life gives you lemons, punch it in the face and ask for glitter. When life gives you lemons, squeeze them in annoying people's eyes. When life gives you lemons, demand to see life's manager. When life gives you lemons, find someone whose life has given them vodka and have a party. I'm not going to make a comment on alcohol and responsible use. Unless life gives you sugar and water as well, your lemonade is going to suck. I think that's good. See, life is like a lemon. Now, I want to give a caveat. You heard it first here. But life is like a lemon. Now we go into the box. Yeah, you have been very patient. Life is like a lemon. So, on the outside, this chefy talk here, you've got the zest. That's the yellow bit before you get to the white bit. That's how you zest. Little cooking tip. Zest. See, I love the word zest. It's the zingy part. It's got all the oil in it. And, you know, God has given us a zest for life, a joy for life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Packaged in you is the joy of God, the zest for life. He switched on your life when he ignited you, when you met him. See, when I retire, long time from now, I'm not going to sit at the back of the church going, well, let's see if you can do a better job. If I retire, I'm not even sure what that means. A, I'm going to cheer people on, but B, I want to be filled with the joy of the Lord. I want to have a zest for living. That smells good, that lemon. Okay, life is like this. I'm praying I don't cut my hands because I really did a sharpen that. So, you know, you're a bit like this. And the juice, you know, you get squeezed a bit and that's great. And the juice comes, I hope it doesn't go in my eye. The juice comes out. The juice is great. You know, it brings out the flavor in other things, brings out the flavor of fish. All these wonderful analogies, and I'm not going to go too long on those. It gets a bit boring. But, you know, then life can be a bit like this. I hope we got some wet ones. Life can be like that. And you can feel a bit wrung out. You know, you've poured out, you're a bit wrung out. And then you're left with the pith. I knew someone would laugh at that, which I really appreciate. P-I-T-H. The pith. Thank you. Life can make you feel a bit pithy at times. You know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, but it's a lot of effort. And there's the effort versus rest debate in the Bible, and I get all of that, but don't strive and so on, but it certainly doesn't deny that good things come to those who put effort and sow into their future. So here's the juice. Here we go. The zest, the pith, and sometimes we feel like this, amen?
Yeah.
Full and ready to go. Sometimes we feel like this, amen? Simple science or cookery lesson. See, is God any closer to this lemon or this lemon?
Yeah.
Life can be tough. Won't move because my fingers are wet. Life can be tough. But our ongoing reaction to life, what life throws at us, can make things tougher if we continue to react.
Wow.
See, when Anna rang me on Thursday night, I think it was, and said the flights for India have all been cancelled, the place has gone into bankruptcy. When I put the phone down, I just went down on my knees, and this heavenly light shone down on me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Now, actually, what happened was I ran around like a chook with its head cut off. People are going to blame me. I should have known. The team are going to turn against me. All this, like, you might be laughing, but you know, you're laughing because you recognize yourself in this situation, but in another situation. You're a useless pastor. You've let people down. And then God spoke to me through Heather. And I said a few stupid things in the heat of the moment, not to her, but I mean, not at her, but about the situation. Let me tell you something. It really doesn't matter as long as you get back up. But what happens is people stay down, and you might have stayed down there and you need help getting up, and that's great. And we can pray with you and for you. But we sang this morning, here my song will rise. Here my song will rise. Not when everything's worked out and we're on the plane going there and God's provided it all and blah, blah. No, here my song will rise. And I want to challenge you this morning. God is saying to you, here, will you let the here, the right now, will you let the song rise that's in your heart? Will you worship him? Will you give thanks for your kids, for your marriage, for your job, for everything that God has? Will you, in spite of it all, in spite of the lemons that are being chucked at you, will you go, here, my song will rise? See, it's not the crisis that separates us from God. It's not the trauma. It's not disappointment. But our response to those crises can make us push God away or cause us to distance ourselves from him. But he says he understands. He says, I'm the intercessor. The very word means go between. What to what end? We said before, to keep God's wrath from destroying us or to cause us to understand that the love that reached out to us hasn't been withdrawn because we made one bad word, one mistake, one poor thought, a heap of thoughts and poor words and poor things, and a lifetime of wrong decisions. It matters not because his love doesn't withdraw from us. He continues to go after us and his love never fails. And we need to get excited about it. God does not withdraw his love from us. I'm going to get the band up and we're going to... My last point in closing is, you know, there are times in your life you will not feel his presence. I don't really need to say any more, but I will. We've got our friends David and Shirley up the back there. We've been friends with them for 20 years this year, or over 20 years. And I bet if I stood them up and asked them the life journey they've been on, there are times when God does not feel very real. He doesn't feel very present. And you can quote all the scripture at me and go, yes, but my Bible says this. Yes, but he's not talking about your feelings. He's talking about his truth. Is he present? Of course he is. See, move along is my third point. Move along. There's nothing to see here. Once my mum, it's a bit about my mum this morning. She lived in a sheltered accommodation, a small little flat. And she burnt something in a microwave. And then the firemen arrived. And they came and put it out with this thing in flames. And my mum stood at the door because generally older people start to get a bit nosy. So they're all filing past to see what had happened. She was going, move along, nothing to see here, move along. You have to know my mum to sort of know how funny that was because she was very sweet, but she could be very strong. But what about when there's nothing to see here? You can't see him. Well, the scripture says the pure in heart shall see God. But has that come to mean that we walk around with a constant vision of God? Very impractical if you're supposed to be serving someone in the Macca's drive-thru. If you've got your arms in the air, I'm just seeing Jesus. And somebody wants to order their large fries. It's come to mean I demand, God, you are in my consumer mentality, you need to always speak to me, always be available to me, always speaking to me, always listening to, which he does always listen to you, always available. I'm not saying let's lessen our expectation of God, but a child who is fearful when he can't see his parent, a child who is disoriented when she can't feel or touch her parent, a child who is depressed because he can't hear his parent's voice continually soothing and calming, can develop what is known as separation anxiety. And I believe a lot of believers have that. They need constant reassurance of God's presence or his truth or his word. And yes, I know I've said one thing and I'm sort of saying the other, but the truth is we need to get comfortable in the sense of maybe we need to do a really, really old-fashioned thing that we used to do was, what was the last thing God spoke to you? Are you doing it? Yes, great. Wait for the next thing. If you're not, do it. He's speaking to you. Yeah. I know. Might be too old school. See, what is acceptable growing behavior in a child becomes destructive in an adult. Yeah. Paul says to the church, you used to drink milk, you need to eat meat. Yeah. If trust doesn't develop, then that fear and that disorientation, that depression can develop into separation anxiety. But there's another form of separation in closing that we can have, separation anxiety that we can have, when he's asking us to leave some things in our life behind and we don't want to. I knew that would be popular. Nervous laughs. When he's saying, you don't need that relationship, it's toxic. You don't need that TV program, Stop watching it. You don't need that book. Don't read it. I know you will balance this out in your head, so I'm not going to balance it. I love reading. I love watching the box. I love friendships and relationships. But there's been times when God has spoken to me, and sometimes it's for a season, and sometimes it's for the rest of your life. Sometimes the Father in his loving wisdom requires us to separate ourselves from stuff, drama, people and things, and that's not an exhaustive list. Sometimes it's seasons, sometimes for life. But listen, if your eyes are on what you're being separated to, you will be less enthralled with what you're being separated from. Is he drawing you in his love? Then that will satisfy you. Truly it will. It will. In 2019, let's separate ourselves to him. Not the holy old, you know, the thing of, oh, we don't speak to people, we never don't talk to people about God, we just come to church and no. This should expand us and extend us. This should make us go out into the streets because we know that we're loved. We know that we are being drawn and we want others to be drawn into their destiny in God. Hebrews 12, 2-3 says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. That's a translation of the Message. King James says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And I've heard it preached, and you have too, that you were the joy that was set before him. And it's true. And what joy is set before you in your life to run? Let him fill you with joy. Let him fill you with love. Let him woo you. It wasn't on August the 19th, 1974, which is the day of my salvation. I'm so thankful for God. And he said, that's all. That's all the wooing you get, boy. But he draws us today and into tomorrow. We're going to stand together. And you might be somebody here who is saying, I'm separated from God. I don't know him. I don't know what it is, but I do believe that I want to change my life. I need my life changed. I want to be wooed by God. I want to be loved by him. I've not known a life of love. I've only known separation and darkness and despair. I've known good times and bad times, but through it all, I just want to know him. That might be you this morning. Let's just bow our heads. And if that is you this morning, because we never, ever want to miss an opportunity to help someone connect with the Father. If you would like to have Jesus in your life as the center of your life and be filled with the joy that we've been talking about, filled with the hope, filled with the promise, with all our heads bowed, not looking around, just be in the moment, stop thinking about your lunch, don't worry, it's all going to happen. If you just would slip your hand up, we'd love to pray with you this morning. That's great that everybody here knows Jesus Christ as Savior. That's wonderful. If you decide that that's a bit embarrassing to do that, you talk to somebody, myself or Heather or Fred or one of the pastors, we'd love to pray with you. As we sing Washed Again, I fully believe that people have been touched this morning. It might be that you have been believing a lie that, you know, Old Testament, separate sins have separated. You need to realize again, you want to be just that fresh touch of God to know that you're not separate, hasn't withdrawn his love from you, isn't angry with you because you've made mistakes, but he wants to stir you up in that faith. As we sing it, you feel free to come forward. Let's sing that again. Thank you.